Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to have you with us today. Now, recently, New Zealand saw school students striking over politicians' lack of action to halt climate damage. With that in mind, we present this article entitled Youth Climate Movement to World Leaders. We Will Change Fate of Humanity Whether You Like It or Not by Jake Johnson. Student climate strikers issued open letter ahead of Global Day of Action on 15th of March 2019, consisting of more than 500 events in over 50 countries. Youth climate leaders from across the globe penned an open letter on Friday, 1st of March 2019, condemning the inaction of world leaders in the face of planetary catastrophe and vowing to make change happen by ourselves. The letter was published in The Guardian ahead of a 15 March day of action spanning every continent. The open letter comes amid a wave of youth demonstrations across the world demanding immediate climate action, many of which have been inspired by the tireless campaigning of 16-year-old Swedish activist Greta Thunberg.
Over the past several weeks, students in Germany, Australia, Thailand and other nations have walked out of class to protest their government's failure to pursue climate solutions that match the urgency required by the scientific evidence, which says that global carbon emissions must be slashed in half by 2030 to avert planetary disaster. Denouncing the refusal of governments around the world to treat climate change like a genuine existential crisis, the youth leaders declared in their letter, "We can and will stop this madness." And goes on to say, "For people under 18 in most countries, the only democratic right we have is to demonstrate. We don't have representation." And that was from Jonas Campus, a 17-year-old student activist from Switzerland. And he told The Guardian newspaper, "To study for a future that will not exist, that does not make sense."
Okay, so now the youth activist letter I will read to you in full. "We, the young, are deeply concerned about our future. Humanity is currently causing the sixth mass extinction of species, and the global climate system is at the brink of a catastrophic crisis. Its devastating impacts are already felt by millions of people around the globe. Yet we are far from reaching the goals of the Paris Agreement. Young people make up more than half of the global population. Our generation grew up with the climate crisis, and we will have to deal with it for the rest of our lives. Despite the fact most of us are not included in the local and global decision-making process, we are the voiceless future of humanity. We will no longer accept this injustice. We demand justice for all past, current, and future victims of the climate crisis. And so we are rising up. Thousands of us have taken to the streets in the past weeks all around the world. Now we will make our voices heard. On 15 March, we will protest on every continent."
We finally need to treat the climate crisis as a crisis. It is the biggest threat in human history, and we will not accept the world's decision makers in action that threatens our entire civilization. We will not accept a life in fear and devastation. We have the right to live our dreams and hopes. Climate change is already happening. People did die, are dying, and will die because of it. But we can and will stop this madness. We, the young, have started to move. We are going to change the fate of humanity, whether you like it or not. United, we will rise until we see climate justice. We demand the world's decision makers take responsibility and solve this crisis. You have failed us in the past. If you continue failing us in the future, we, the young people, will make change happen by ourselves. The youth of this world has started to move, and we will not rest again.
Now, following from that is this piece, and it's called Young People Lead the Charge to Change the World, and it's by Graham Peebles. We are living among the largest generation of young people in history. Young people who are better educated, better informed, and more widely connected than ever before. Around 42% of the world's population is under 25 years of age. 25% are under 15. That's 1.8 billion people. The largest group is in Southeast Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa, where the median age is only 19, compared to 38 in America and an aging 45 in Germany, Italy, and other parts of Europe. This huge army of young people is cause for great optimism. They are more politically and socially engaged and certainly more environmentally aware than previous generations, are less conditioned by ideologies, and despite the widespread notion that anyone under 35 is self-obsessed and uncaring, in many cases they are the ones leading the global charge for change. They abhor dishonesty, don't trust politicians, and rightly believe that unity and tolerance of others are essential to right relationships and social harmony.
Many feel frustrated at the state of the world they have been born into, are angry with inept politicians and unaccountable international institutions, and enraged at the environmental vandalism that is taking place throughout the world. Anger and disillusionment has led to committed engagement among large numbers of young people throughout the world. They swell the ranks of the global protest movement, forming the vanguard at demonstrations for action on climate change, demanding social justice and freedom, rational changes in US gun law, and an end to austerity and economic injustice.
They formed the driving force behind what were arguably the two most significant social political movements in recent years, the Arab Spring and the Occupy movement. And whereas in the past young people have been less engaged than older generations in voting and party activism, this too is changing. In Britain, for example, the Labour Party, with an overall membership of 504,000, the largest in Europe, has over 100,000 members under 25, and they are extremely active. As well as demonstrating, working on environmental campaigns and human rights issues, the impulse to contribute to the local community is strong, and many act upon it. A survey made by the Royal Society of Arts in Britain found that a staggering 84% of young people want to help others, and that 68% of young people have participated in volunteering or other forms of social action. These statistics reflect the high level of social responsibility that exists in countries throughout the world among this generation. The study also revealed that while there is a strong desire to bring about large-scale change, working locally to support someone in need, befriending or helping an elderly person with their shopping, for example, is likewise recognized to be of enormous value.
It is a generation brought up with social media, and according to the Millennial Impact Project, they use it alongside traditional forms of participation. Millennials' interest in the greater good is driving their cause of engagement today, and their activism, or whatever you want to call it, is increasing. Appalled by the level of inaction and the scale of the crisis, large numbers of young people have committed themselves to the environmental cause. One of the most inspirational forms of climate change activism is the Schools Strike for the Climate, initiated by 16-year-old Greta Thunberg. Following a record-breaking hot summer in August 2018, Greta began a solo protest for climate change outside the Swedish Parliament in Stockholm. Every Friday since, instead of going to school, she sits outside her country's parliament. She has vowed to continue to do so until world leaders come into line with the Paris Agreement on climate change.
Apathy is often disguised by arguments of individual inadequacy in the face of the scale of the problems confronting humanity. Well, a loud answer to such feeble excuses is Greta Thunberg's One Girl protest. Following her example, hundreds of thousands of schoolchildren around the world have staged their own school strike for the climate. Although all teaching bodies should support the actions, some don't. And while disappointing, what matters is that teachers, along with politicians, big business and the general public, pay attention to what these young people are saying. Keep fossil fuels in the ground, invest in renewables, live environmentally conscientious lives. It is our future you are destroying. Act now before it's too late. The man-made environmental crisis is the result of a certain way of life, an approach to living that places enormous value on material wealth, on image, pleasure, and success. It is, we are told, a dog-eat-dog world in which only the strong survive. This fear-inducing view has polluted life, fueling social division and widespread mental health conditions, particularly amongst the under-25-year-olds. In November 2017, the World Youth Parliament met in Beijing to discuss interpersonal relationships, keys for a new civilization.
In their conference report, they called for the creation of a kinder, friendlier society. They extol forgiveness, which they describe as the most sublime and integral form of love, and make clear their view that the current competitive culture, which places our goals against the goals of others, and the wrong use of technology, is detrimental to human well-being. And they should know. As a result of the competitive culture and the pressure to achieve in education, in a career, and socially, unprecedented numbers of young people are suffering from anxiety and stress, panic attacks and depression, leading some to self-harm and suicide. Despite being conditioned into competition by an outdated education system, which is designed to train compliant workers, not free-thinking creative individuals, young people instinctively recognize that cooperation, not competition, is an integral part of human nature, and that working collectively for the common good is the best way to deal with the many challenges facing humanity. It is, in fact, the only way we will overcome the various crises confronting us. Unity is the way forward, and young people know this. The future belongs to the 3 billion or so under-25-year-olds of the world, many of whom are inspired and inspiring. If we are to collectively overcome the challenges facing humanity, we need to listen to what young people have to say, to draw on their energy and dynamism. They are in tune with the times, are overflowing with creativity, and are a powerful voice for change.
And lastly, we have an article about a young woman who is making a difference, not just in her home country of Cameroon. Monique Intongia remembers when she was growing up in Cameroon how difficult things were without access to potable water and electricity, with no modern toilet and only candles and a bush lamp for lighting. Even today, power outages remain a common problem in Cameroon, lasting for days and affecting the economy and frequently bringing the nation to a halt. In a country where only approximately 30% of the population is connected to the electricity grid, it is clear that there is an enormous potential to develop the green energy sector. So when Monique grew up, she kept the promise she'd made to herself and other Cameroonian girls that no girl child would have to suffer the privations she experienced growing up. She founded Green Girls, a Pan-African NGO that trains women and girls to bring about renewable energy from the sun and from waste products to African communities. In so doing, Green Girls hopes to address two major issues in Cameroon, the lack of reliable power and the lack of females leading the green energy sector.
Monique Ntunjia is a human rights advocate against violations on women and girls and is passionate about entrepreneurship and promoting sustainable development in Africa with the use of renewable energy. She has been gender and human rights program officer for a Nigerian NGO, is president of Green Girls and CEO and founder of Monafric Energy. She holds an LLB law degree from the University of Buea in Cameroon and speaks fluent English and French. Michael Tales interviewed her for Share International. First question, you use waste to generate energy. You can do that with waste? The answer, to generate biogas, we use waste, and to generate solar energy, we use solar panels. Waste used to produce biogas is obtained from human waste, from pit toilets in the villages, and animal droppings from chickens, cattle and pigs, and kitchen waste.
The gas is obtained through the fermentation process that occurs when this waste is dumped into a biodigester, which is a kind of pit constructed with pipes through which the biogas is channeled. Depending on the kind of waste and size of the biodigester, methane is produced after a minimum of 3 weeks. This is the local biogas, which is clean and environmentally friendly and is used for cooking and heating purposes for the huts. Next question, where did the inspiration to create Green Girls come from? And the answer, but madam, we do not have light. How are we going to use these school materials and study at night? This was the question that launched me into my renewable energy journey. It was in September 2014, and I was a program officer in charge of gender and human rights. With my team, I was in Kano, which is one of the northern states of Nigeria. We had received funding and were sharing educational materials with Muslim girls for a project that was aimed at promoting education in the northern states of Nigeria.
When confronted with this question, I realised that the real root problem had not been solved. Without electricity, these girls could not study at night. So I developed a concept note or a mission statement. Promote sustainable development in Africa with the use of renewable energy. The idea was simple. Secure more funds in order to purchase quality solar reading lamps to distribute to African communities for the average girl who did not have access to electricity. In 3 months, we were able to raise US$50,000 that permitted us to purchase over 3,500 quality solar reading lamps that we shared in the Nigerian communities. Today, Green Girls Organization trains women and girls in African communities on how to generate energy from the sun and from waste using a unique scoring model. We are a team of 10 full-time staff and we have a good number of volunteers doing field work.
And so far we have trained 672 girls and 100 women from 23 communities in Cameroon. We have provided over 3,000 households with biogas installations and carried out over 100 solar installations that provide electricity exclusively to rural homes. The GGO training is replicable in many countries as well, and with our mission to promote sustainable development, we are very open and willing to carry out work in other African communities. And the GGO also is on a mission to close the huge gender gap, science, technology, engineering and mathematics, especially in the area of green energy. Cameroon is far behind when it comes to young females becoming global climate ambassadors because it is a male-dominated industry. The slogan of the GGO is Great Girls Go Green, 4 Gs. We strongly believe that with enough funding, women and girls who are the primary victims of the energy crisis that Africa faces can be trained and their communities developed in an eco-friendly manner.
And thank you very much for listening in today. That's all we have time for. If you would like more information, check out the website, share-international.org. Otherwise, you could write to us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.